All right, here we go. So we're up to the piece. Vayamidel liYaakov lechok liYisrael bris olam. Actually, I wouldn't mind if I don't have a sitter here. Should cause some to do some of that. Okay, it doesn't matter. So what is that going on? Right, so he was koiris the bris with Avram and the shvuah to Yitzchak, and he was ma'amit it to Yaakov as a chok liYisrael bris olam, lemor saying, Lecha etein Eretz Kanaan, I will give to you Eretz Kanaan. So therefore this piece is going to focus on that inyan of Eretz Yisrael, which actually fits nicely to this week's parsha that we read this week and in America that they'll be reading this week, which is of course Parsha Shlach Lecha, which what better week to speak about Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So Ksiv, it says Lashem Oretz Umloya, right? This is the Gemara in Brachas, brings that one pasuk says that the land and everything in it, all its fill, belongs to Hashem. Uksiv, and then it's written in a different place, Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem, Ve'aretz Nosan Livnei Adam, that the heavens belongs to Hashem, whereas the land He gave to the people. So it's a stira contradiction between the psukim. Does the land at this point in time belong to God, or does it belong to mankind? Says the Gemara, kan koidim bracha v'kan la'achar bracha. One pasuk is speaking before the bracha, before a person makes a bracha rishona, on the first bracha, before eating, for example, or partaking in some kind of pleasure from this world, he makes a bracha, and kan la'achar bracha, and then before the bracha, I'm sorry, right, so before the bracha, it still belongs to God, kiviyachol, right? The fruit, everything, right, belongs to God. But after you make the bracha, then you kind of acquire it in that way from Hashem, and now it belongs to you, and that's the pasuk, Shemayim Shemayim Lashem, and the land he gave over to Bnei Adam, meaning he gave over to Bnei Adam after they make a bracha. Okay. So, however, Mitoksha Alocha hi Shalachar Hasocha Sadas Tzarch Lachzar Ulevorech. Since the Alocha, as you see in Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim Simekuf Ayin Tes, right, since the Alocha states that if somebody after making the Bracha was Mesiach Das, or sometimes even in the middle of eating, if he was Mesiach Das completely, then he would have to go back and make another Bracha, okay, repeat the Bracha. So from that it becomes clear that the aspect of the gift that the world was given to people isn't something which is eternal. It wasn't given, it wasn't a matana that was given forever. It's a gift that is given in such a way where he keeps giving again and again and again. V'chol shah hi b'chinas shat ha-matana. And every new time or every new moment is an aspect of the time of the matana, the time of the gift. In other words, if you already made a bracha on this thing, who cares if it was a sechadas? If it was like a regular kinyan, you acquired it the second you made a kinyan on it, the second you made a bracha on it, you acquired that fruit and finished. So the fact that you would have to make another brach on it, if there's a hesach hadas, shows you that no, it actually doesn't work like that. You acquired it only for that time. But once that time is passed, which is what's called through hasachas hadas, through hesach hadas, through right your mind being away from it, so now you have to acquire it again. So that shows you that the idea of that the land was given to man is not the type of a giving where he gives it to you and now it's yours forever. It's yours at the time of the giving. But once that moment has gone, because you haven't continued it, you've been Mesiach Das, now you need to receive it again. And that means that the way he gives is a constant. He's constantly ready to give and he's constantly giving. Lachain, therefore, b'chol pan tzerich lechzor levarech. So every time you need to go make a new bracha. Shimim baladea bracha en nitan de bnei adam klum. Because without bracha, without making a bracha, without that, then nothing is given to man. B'chinazu shel matana chozeret v'nitenet. This aspect of a gift that is continuously being given again and again. Be'emet me'osher ha'olam hi. It's really from the fortune of the world. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. She'en yad noten misuleket min ha'matana, u'b'chol sha'a mushetet ha'matana min ha'noten ha'makabel. What it means is that the hand of the giver never becomes removed from the gift. And at every moment, that gift is being given again from the giver to the receiver. The idea, right, if somebody would give a gift, it's a one-time gift, that's it. You no longer have a connection to that giver. But the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives in such a way where he is consistently, continuously giving, it keeps a connection with us and Hashem. It reminds me of a story a friend of mine told me that, I think he told me that he read that this was a true story. I don't know if it's a made-up story, a true story, but it's rather amusing that there was a very wealthy guy that left an enormous amount of money to his family, but he stipulated in the will that in order to receive the money the money that he's leaving over, they each got like a credit card type thing or a bank card, and they would have to go to like an ATM machine at his grave. And they can only do like once a week and take out a certain amount of money. And that way he ensured that they wouldn't forget about him. They'll keep coming back to his grave. I don't know why he wants them cursing him out every week. but that's the idea. It's like, you know, he wanted that he shouldn't be forgotten. They'll take his money and finish. He's out of, you know. So this was a way to ensure, you know, presumably he certainly wasn't Jewish or frum, because we have that minhag built into our entire religion basically at this, even though it's an interesting question of like when that started, but certainly today most people go to the kever at least once a year. They'll go and sometimes more because Rosh Hashanah and Elul, and so Tisha B'Av is a minhag, even though it doesn't have to be on the kever of Avaisa, but okay, in any case, but that's the idea. The idea was this was his great way of ensuring that the receivers of his money would not forget about him, just take it and run, but he'll be continuously in the mind. Now, obviously, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a wonderful thing. It's not, you know, over there, he's not continuously giving. It was a one-time gift that's just annoying to people. But the fact over here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is stretched out to us, and he's continuously giving to us. That's a very, very warm, beautiful relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants with us. Zeh she'amar Yitzchak. This is what Yitzchak said b'birkato Yaakov, when he blessed Yaakov. V'yiten lecha he'elokim, and God will give you, says the Medrash Rabbah in Bereshis Rabbah. Yiten v'yachzor v'yiten. The Medrash darshins that what he was telling him is that God will give you and continue giving you and continue giving you. That's the lashon of v'yiten, that he'll continuously give. Leimar, to say, she'agish b'itchadshut ha'matana b'chol eit. He was telling Yaakov that he should feel the annual of the gift at all times. You should always feel that fresh guy, that freshness, that newness. It's a new gift. It's not something you got. It's not like something that was there. No, you're continuous, like Hashem is continuously giving to us. Now that is true about things in general, about the world in general. Says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, there's an exception to the rule, an exception to this rule. Ulam, however, le'eretz Yisrael yesh madriga nosefet. To the land of Israel, Eretz Yisrael has an additional madriga, an additional level. Gdola yoter, which is greater, biyachsan la'am Yisrael, in its relationship to the Jewish people. The same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an acquisition in his world, in the world, right, belongs to him, he's Koneakol, it could be translated as creator of everything or acquired everything. Obviously, if it's acquired, he acquired it through the fact that he created it. So that's but the idea is that it's referred to as a kinyan. He has a kinyan acquisition. It belongs to him. Ve'alav omrim, and about him we say, ve'alav omrim anu, we say, mala ha'aretz kinyanecha, the world, the land is filled of your kinyanim, of your acquisitions. It's all yours. Kach, in the same way, Yisrael sheyesh ben bechinat bechina shel tzelem elokim, Yisrael, who has that aspect of being in the image of God, yesh lem kinyan be'eretz Yisrael, eretz hakodesh. So they also have an acquisition in the land, in Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz HaKodesh, the Holy Land. So, a few things here. First of all, right, he's indicating that only the Jewish people have a Tzelem Elokim, right? And because they have this Tzelem Elokim, so they have also, the same way God has Kinyin Ba'olamai, so we have a true Kinyin in the world, which is Eretz Yisrael. In other words, land-wise, we have a true Kinyin. And the reason that he, you know, indicates that is because in many, many Sfarim, it's clear that the Ikar Tzelem Elokim, the Ikar image of God, is really only by the Jewish people. Now, you know, despite the noting that all man was created in the image of God, but the truth of the matter is, it doesn't mean that not, it doesn't mean that there are sources that do indicate that there's a certain level of Tzelem Elokim by all men. I think that should be a Davar Pashut. That should probably be something which is simple, right? Chaviv Adam, yeah, but there are those who I think want to explain it. Yeah. It could be a Seir Nadas, or okay. Yeah, Chaviv Yisrael. Yeah. So there are certainly sources that indicate that the Goyim also have a Tzelem Elokim, and I think that's, you know, very simple. Simply true. But the Ikar Tzelem Elokim is not just the external body, but it includes the neshama. It includes the spirituality with inside, which is the neshama. And the neshama of Yisrael, we know, is chakuka b'kisei hakavod. It's literally carved out, so to say, of God's throne. It's coming from a very, very high place in the kisei hakavod. So that is the ikar, the primary tzelem elokim. In the rest of the world, they have a Tzelem Elokim, but it's not on that same level. Now, what's interesting is that Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is connecting two things, which, you know, I've never seen connected elsewhere, is that the Kinyan of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael is stemming from that Tzelem Elokim. That because they have a Tzelem Elokim, so the same way God has a Kinyan Ba'olamo, so Klal Yisrael has a kinyan in Eretz Yisrael. V'hu ha'inyan, says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, and that is the inyan, she'eretz Yisrael, Yerusha Eli Yisrael, that the land of Israel is an inheritance to the Jewish people. Al-Bechina Zu, Sha'al Avraham, Bama Eda Ki Eirashena. It is on this aspect that Avram asked by the Bris Bein Abisarim, how will I know that I will inherit it? An inheritance is something that goes to you forever. Yada Avraham, Avram knew, v'ya betuach, and he was certain, she'Hashem yizborach yitein es ha'aretz l'Yisrael. He was certain that Hashem would give the land, his land, to the Jewish people. That wasn't his doubt that he needed to ask Hashem, like, can you please sign on the contract for that? That wasn't what he was asking for, b'ma'ed akirashana. But he was asking, how could he know that the Jewish people are always going to be in that aspect of Tzelem Elokim, and that they'll also have a kinyan in Eretz Yisrael? I guess what he means is that it would be possible, technically, for the Jewish people to be given Eretz Yisrael as an inheritance, but it wouldn't necessarily be theirs in that way of kinyan. I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know if it means that, like, they could be kicked out. It could be. Or it means that there's, like, a level of kinyan where you don't really attach to the land. You don't, like, it's not, it's only yours in an external way. I'm not sure what he means by this. I think what he means is, that it's, I'm pretty sure from the context of what he says over here and the next paragraph, that what he means is that yes, he knew that they were going to get Eretz Yisrael, but he was concerned that if they lose the Tzal Malkim, they'll actually lose Eretz Yisrael. I think that that's what he means. It's actually that they would actually lose Eretz Yisrael, and that scared him, because, you know, he wanted to know that they're going to have it forever. And the response came from Hashem, "Shagalut timarek et avanotehem shel Yisrael," that the exile is going to clean away the averus of the Jewish people. And after that, they'll go out with that great amount of money and wealth and whatever it is.
Now, so briefly, add, it sounds like as well that Avraham Avinu was worried that we could lose a Tzal Malkim, not something which is.
Oh, so very, very nice. So it's right. Avram, like Moshe's pointing out, is Avram was concerned that Tzal Malkim can actually be lost. That's something we could lose, which really attaches to what we spoke about before, is that the Tzal Malkim is primarily something spiritual. It's not the physical. That's true that the physical body represents Kabbalistically the Hanhagas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the spiritual structures that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up to relate to the world, but it's this, the essence of it, it's the or inside it, it's the light, it's the soul inside, which is the Iker, is the main aspect of the Tzal Malkim, and therefore sin can cover it up. Averis can cover it up. In the sense, right? What does it mean to lose something? It means to lose any manifestation of it. There's no, you know, I don't see, when I look at that person, I don't see his Tzal Malkim. I mean, unfortunately, today, you can sometimes see people that you can't see on them the Tzal Malkim. And that was something that Avram was concerned about, because then that Eretz Yisrael would be perhaps a fleeting moment in time. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu answers, no, don't worry, I got the perfect remedy for that. It's called Golos. And Golos, Klal Yisrael is going to suffer that. It's going to wipe off chunks and chunks of their averus, so that their Tzal Malkim is going to be noticeable, and thus they will be shaykh to Eretz Yisrael. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, it might be an additional hesber, might be an additional explanation, according to this, why Eretz Yisrael is one of the things that Niknas B'Yisurim. Eretz Yisrael's Niknas B'Yisurim acquired. It's acquired, Kenyan. It's acquired with Yisurim, because those Yisurim polish the person that this Tzal Malkim will be noticeable, so that he can actually get his Pchelik in Eretz Yisrael. It's actually very nice hesber. Says Rabbi Akamashim, Mikan Bir Lezeh Shalomatsinu. Now he gets to a halachic, a very, very interesting halachic chiddush. From here, we have an explanation for the fact Shalomatsinu Shekava Bracha Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. We don't find that the Chazal set a bracha on the Mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Why, when we move to Israel, do we not make a bracha on Eretz Yisrael? Or at least, let's say, when we conquer territory, because according to the Ramban, the Ikur Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is to conquer territory from the Goyim that are there, right? Because it's really ours, and we got to get them out and reclaim it. So why didn't they do that, you know, in the 48 war, the 67 war, or whatever? Why didn't they make a bracha? The Chazal didn't give us any bracha to make. So he says, "Velu gami mitzvah zu bezman hazeh mider rabbanan bilvad." And even if you're going to take the halachic stance that there were. It's a das miut, it's a very minority opinion, but even if you do take the stance that the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael today is only rabbinic, haloi mevorchim anu gam mitzvah shemid rabbanon, we make brachas on mitzvahs rabbanon, right? Sukkah, arbaminim, after the first day is only rabbanon, we make a brach on it. There's plenty of mitzvahs we do that are rabbanon. Chanukah, tam adavar, the reason is because from the moment that the land was given to the Jewish people, there is no pause. Shekin Yerusha ain lahefsik, because the Yerusha has no pause. Ulam pashat adavar, and here he's mechadish. However, it's pashat. It's totally simple. It's obvious. Shekasher nichnasu Yeshua v'Yisrael eretz Yisrael, when Yeshua and the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael, Birchu al mitzvah zu. They did make a bracha on this mitzvah. It's pashatev. They for sure made a bracha on this. V'chein gam olei Bavel, and also when they went up from Bavel. Because, again, he's seeing it halachically. It says that the olei Bavel, they had to be mekadesh the land again, because the kedusha rishayna was only the shaita. It only lasted as long as they weren't yet, as before the galus, before they were thrown into galus Bavel. But when the olei Bavel came back, they had to be mekadesh the land again. That means that they must have made a bracha again at that point, because they have to like possess it again. And then he says, avol me'az, but since then, shuv ein makom lebracha zu. There's no place for such a bracha. Shme'achar shekvari muchletes lanu, because it's already absolute to us. Shekdusha shniya kedusha la'asid lavai, kitcha la'asid lavai. Like the Rambam in Hilchos Truma says, that the second kedusha, meaning the kedusha that the Olei Bavel did with the Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael, that kedusha goes forever. The ein lechadim she'en lo dalet amos be'eretz Yisrael, and there's no person that doesn't have four amos in Eretz Yisrael. As part of the Jewish people, every single Jewish person has his own dalet amos in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, when the Olei Bavel came and reclaimed the land, from then on, all Jewish people have a place in Eretz Yisrael. You're welcome to come get it if you're in Chutzlar. And this is a big chiddush, right? A big chiddush, you say, is that that they taka made a bracha. They must have made a bracha on Eretz Yisrael back in the time when Yeshua came in first, and they you know began to. It would be interesting. I wonder when Yeshua, according to him, it sounds like when they were nichnas, they already made this bracha, but it took years, right? It says that the 7 years of kibush and 7 years of chalukas arz. So, like, when did they actually make the? That might be taloy in the machlekas apoyskim on what the ikar of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is. If it's the kibush, then you would have to wait for the kibush l'chora until you make the bracha, unless maybe you make it over lasiyasan, like you make on a mitzvah before you actually begin it. So maybe at the way they made it. That actually would make sense. That would probably make sense. They probably made it right away, because it's like, if it's a mitzvah, you make a mitzvah over lasiyasan. So when you begin conquering it, you know, right away you should make it. And anyway, but that's a big chiddush halacha. And,
together. Huh? What's the tafsir to tie these three paragraphs together?
Oh. So, first of all, how does it go relate to Vayamidel Yaakov L'chok Yisrael Bris Olam? It's a little bit misleading. It's really because you need the extension of the pasuk leimor lecha'et in Eretz Kanaan. In other words, the fact that Hashem is going to give Eretz Kanaan, he set that as a chok liyisrael bris olam, as something that's going to be forever and ever. And so he starts off by telling us that generally speaking, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael matanas, or gives people matanas, it's not in a way where it's lechok olam lebris olam. No. He keeps that relationship with us, so that he continuously gives, and it's the beauty of the relationship with us. But when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, it works differently. Dafka, because the Jewish people are Betzalem Elakim, they need a kinyan in Eretz Yisrael. That means it's a kinyan for them forever and ever. It's not something that they have to keep getting over and over and over. And therefore, that is what he was Maimid Lechoik Yisrael Bris Olam, and that's the connection between the paragraphs over here. Okay. Anyone questions or Aris?
I wasn't quite sure about saying that the Kabul is given to the new Tzolomot Gil. But it seems to me that the normal assimilation in the Kabul is losing great amounts of minerals.
I turned on. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you well. Could you ask the question again?
Can
be lost. Not only in Chutz La'aretz. Avram's concern was that it would be lost even in Eretz Yisrael, and then they would lose their right to Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem assured him that don't worry about it. They'll never lose it completely, because Golus is always going to be cleaning them off, purifying their tzelem, that their tzelem will still be.
Huh?
existing and noticeable.
Yeah, but the trouble is you needed great amounts of Jews in food storage because it was a relation. So how do you explain the idea of keeping some of the kingdom?
People, Jews that are lost to assimilation are no longer Jews. Those are, you know, the ones that, what do I mean by that? Their children are no longer Jews. If they've married out, right, then it's lost. Those are Jews that are lost. The ones that have assimilated and are Jewish, because they have Jewish mothers, so they might still have a Tzelem Elokim. I don't know, we are not able to judge when the Tzelem Elokim is actually lost by a person or not. But, I would assume that they... I would take it as a chazaka that they'll still have some kind of Tzelem Elokim until not, you know. We have to treat all Jews as still Jews, halachically. We have all the requirements today. We know, you know, there's this concept that Chazon Ish writes about, or Rav Kook wrote about, the Tinuk Shenishba. So we assume that all Jews are really, you know, that we have to halachically relate to them with all their rights, with all their Jewish rights. Obviously, human rights, you have to relate to all human beings with their proper human rights of justice and sometimes even tzedakah, depends on the halachic whatever. But as far as the Jewish people as a whole, though, as a nation, they don't lose the Tzelem Elokim. That's impossible. So we may lose individuals, but we could never lose the klal. The klal, you know, like the Gemara in Hoya says, right? Tzibur loy meis. The community never dies. Mm-hmm. The totality, right? The klal. That's going to remain forever. And that obviously was the main concern of Avram and the main topic of discussion between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avram was klal Yisrael. Not necessarily the individuals.
I think that links into what I had on the last paragraph, that even if Klal Yisrael began a never-ending relationship with Eretz Yisrael at the times of Yeshua, but I personally began my Yeshiva Eretz when I personally moved here. So why don't I personally make a bracha?
Right.
But perhaps it has something to do with a national connection.
Yeah, that's what his last few words are. The Ein Lecha Adam, there's no person that doesn't have a Dalet Amos. What he's trying to say is that all the individuals in the Jewish people are part of that kinyan that took place by Bavel, by the Oile Bavel. So you already got it then. That's what I said. Now you could come cash in on it. Okay. Let's say the Shkoyach.
I'm just wondering if it's like, you know, the more that the Goyim say we don't have right there drills because we are losing our connection because we're losing some of the kids to the very, in other words, like, we made Shlomo or something like that. Nobody said the Jews didn't have it right. Then as they went down, eventually they could come in and they could say, oh, you just isn't your land anymore, throw you out. Or even nowadays, people say, you don't have a right to be here. Mm-hmm. That's because of the weakening of the connections.
And a chadami. Yeah, it's very, very nice aura, right? Could be that the goyim, it's certainly true. In other words, we have to always know that when goyim are throwing accusations at us, it's really Hashem talking to us. Not that they're right, but that there's, you know, we'll talk about this next week. I Be'ez Hashem, I'm going to do a shir, I think, I hope, that's not in the Sefer. We're going to do something a little bit with current events and ties to Parshas Korach, but we'll speak about it more then. But, you know, Va'ata Mechaya is Kulam. We know from the Baal Shem Tov especially really gets into this, is that there's a Nitzotz of Kedusha that's Mechaya everything, even Avodah Zarah. So you really have to keep your ears open if you hear claims, right? It's the Jewish people. You have to realize that it's terrible. It is terrible. We have to fight against it, especially it's almost always based on lies. But you have to find the Nekudas HaEmes, that point of truth, which is giving that claim life. Where is that? And like you're saying, yeah, if they're saying that you no longer are the Jewish people, you no longer have Eretz Yisrael because you've lost your Tzelem Elokim or whatever it is, well, that's a wake-up call that says, guys, your Tzelem Elokim should be very obvious. I mean, we know if you have the tefillin on you, which is the Shem Hashem, the Gemara says, the goyim are all going to be afraid of you. So if you have the proper Kedusha, if you have the proper, we know big tzaddikim from all generations that the goyim, even when they were making trouble, they were petrified from certain goyim. They wouldn't touch them. They wouldn't touch the tzaddikim. The goyim would, like, you know, the tzaddik would walk by, and it would be because there's a certain kedusha that says it's about the chayis ha'aretz. Also, the Chazal say that a wild animal can never attack a person if their tzelem elokim is in shlemos, is in perfection, is completion. There's no way that a wild animal will attack that person because he's afraid. The animal's afraid. So yes, it's a wake-up call that our tzelem elokim is not shining and obvious, and we have to do everything we can do to strengthen that tzelem elokim. Yes,
and then it goes back to the Christian claim, right? That they took the kedusha off and put it on him, right?
Right. Same thing. Exactly. This is the Nitzitz HaKadosh inside that claim was that Klal Yisrael, you got to do tshuva. Yeah. Okay. Shkoyach. Agadvach.
Agadvach
to everyone.